My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Sigmund Freud said, "Time spent with cats is never wasted." Albert Schweitzer said, "There are two means of refuge from the miseries of life, music and cats." The French poet and philosopher Anatole France said, "Until one has loved an animal, a part of one's soul remains unawakened." The mutual healing relationship between humans and their animal companions is an age-old story. But my guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Sean Flynn, tells this story anew from the perspective of a modern career professional and how his life was forever changed by a beautiful Maine Coon cat named Kitty. Sean spent more than 25 years in market research before he stepped away to pursue his passion for writing. He knew he wanted to explore his deep connection with cats, particularly the first cat he ever rescued. Sean and his girlfriend Carrie live in Enfield, Connecticut, where he takes care of several indoor and outdoor cats. He also volunteers with the local cat rescue group, the Enfield Community Cat Project, and was recently designated as the group's marketing representative. He joins me this evening to discuss his book, The Kitty Who Rescued Me, After I Rescued Him. Good evening, and please welcome Sean Flynn. Good evening, Sean.
Hi, Victor. Thanks for having me on your program tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to start by congratulating you on being an award-winning finalist in the Animals, Pets, Narrative Nonfiction category of the 2017 International Book Awards. What a wonderful honor. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. We've been working hard, and to get that kind of recognition, you know, is certainly something that, you know, I'm certainly real proud of and very excited about.
Well, I'm a cat and animal lover, and I'm sure the vast majority of our listeners are cat and animal lovers. And I've got to say that being a business person myself and you having come from business and being a professional for many, many years, this opened my heart and I started crying when I got to the end of the book. I just got to say that right off the bat. And I'm sure that our listeners will just as enchanted and as moved in reading The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. So congratulations and thank you for this wonderful piece of work.
Thanks again, Victor. Yeah, it meant a lot to me to write, as I know you picked up on when you were reading it.
Absolutely. Now, let's start by sharing with our listeners your story before Kitty came into your life. What was your career like?
Well, as you had indicated, I was working in as a market research professional in corporate America. And, you know, I worked for a number of different companies. And last summer, I just decided that, you know, I wanted to do something different. I'm closer to the end of my career than I am to the beginning of it, the end of my working years than I am to the beginning of it. So I decided that I wanted to do something special, something that I had always wanted to do. You know, I've had this story in my head about the love affair I have with my cats for years. And a little over a year ago, I was walking through Petco. I was there getting cat food, of course, and I was walking by the periodicals display when I saw a book with a picture of a cat on the front cover, and he looked exactly like my cat. So, of course, that's what caught my eye. I walked over, picked up the book, took a look at it, opened it up, read the first two or three pages, and I thought to myself, this is my story exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was hooked, bought the book, took it home, and I had it read cover to cover in 3 days.
And so what was also your spiritual life like prior to your relationship with Kitty?
Well, you know, I was certainly, I was born and raised a Catholic, went through all the sacraments. You know, as an adult, I don't go to church as often as I should, but I certainly consider myself a spiritual person. I can say that meeting Kitty, I mean, he changed my life. I mean, obviously, you read the book, you understand, you know the kind of impact he had on me. And the relationship that he and I developed one could say was almost spiritual, if not spiritual. I mean, he had a spiritual impact on me.
Absolutely.
I would be a different person today if I hadn't had him in my life.
Really, that's what I was trying to elicit from you, is this question of the relationship that when people bring animal companions into their life and start shepherding these animal companions, that it has a dramatic change not only on their practical life and their everyday life, but also their spiritual life, because it brings them to a closeness to nature and a greater understanding of what it's like to have that connection between human and animal world. So thank you for sharing that. Now, what had been your experience with animal companions before Kitty came into your life?
Well, you know, when I was a kid living with my family, we had dogs. Never had a cat, although I do recall my sister bringing home a cat when I was a teenager, 17 or 18 years old. And I didn't have a lot of experience with cats, prior to meeting Kitty. I mean, I had had friends that had cats, and, you know, I certainly, I'm a big animal lover, and I certainly didn't. It's not like I didn't like cats, or it was just that I didn't have a lot of experience with them. So I met Kitty, you read the book. You know what happened.
Absolutely. So why don't you share with our listeners, without giving away too much of the book, how did you meet Kitty?
Well, I was looking at a house, actually the house I currently live in. And I was walking through the backyard with my fiance and the realtor. We were looking around, trying to get a feel for the property. And this big, fluffy, orange cat was hanging out in the backyard. And he was real friendly. He came over and rubbed up against my leg. And I said, "Kitty." And he was real friendly. And, of course, we were there for, business purposes, to look at and evaluate this property. And I didn't think much of it. I just thought he was like a neighbor's cat, and didn't think much of it. Ended up moving into that house 2 months later on a Saturday, and I got home from work that Monday night, and that same stray cat was sitting on my front step like he was waiting for me to get home from work.
Mm, absolutely. What type of cat was Kitty?
Kitty was a Maine Coon. He was a long-haired Maine Coon. He was about 18 pounds, real big cat. Some people used to see Kitty or meet Kitty and say, "Boy, he's bigger than my dog." He was a big boy.
Big cat. And what type of coloring did Maine Coons have?
Maine Coons could be all different colors, but Kitty was orange. He was an orange cat. Some people refer to that coloring as ginger.
Mm-hmm. And what color were his eyes?
Oh, his eyes were green.
So yeah, ginger cat with green eyes. What a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful cat.
Yeah. He was a good looking boy. Since he was a long haired cat, I used to have to take him to the groomer to get shaved, because his fur would get matted and knotted. And I mean, he was real bad when I first met him too, because he had been living in the backyard, according to my next door neighbor, for 2 or 3 years. So his fur was all matted, and I had to take him to the groomer and get him cleaned up, and they shaved him and gave him the lion cut. And he really looked cute like that. But, of course, within 4 or 5 months, his fur would grow back.
What's a lion cut? I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It makes the cat actually look like a lion. You know, they shave the entire cat except for the fur around his head, so it looks like he has a mane. And then they leave the fur on his legs as well, so it looks like he's wearing boots. Mm-hmm. And then they also leave the fur on at the end of the tail, so it looks like he's got a tail that looks like a lion's tail, a male lion. And he really looked cute when I brought him home.
So not only a lion, but a puss in boots also.
There you go. Puss in boots. I like that.
Absolutely. Now, how did your relationship with Kitty develop?
Well, it wasn't something that happened overnight. I mean, I had had him in my, I moved into the house in June that year, and he had been living outside in the backyard, and, he was real friendly. He would hang out with me while I was doing yard work, or I'd be sitting on the porch in the evening after work, and, he'd come over and just hang out with me, or sometimes he even jumped up on my lap. And I started feeding them, and I put a bowl of water out on the back porch for him. So, my backyard was already his home, but he really felt like, you could tell he really felt like it was his home once I started feeding him on the back porch. Mm-hmm. So there were other stray cats, and I don't know if they were stray cats or neighbors' cats, but they would try to eat from the bowl too. And he was a little territorial, like, hey, this is my food. So, the relationship developed over the course of probably 4 or 5 months. It wasn't instantaneous, but it developed over that period. And he was just the coolest cat I ever met.
And what was his personality like? Did he chase after small animals or birds?
Like all cats, of course, all cats are hunters. So, he was a heck of a mouser. He used to see him catching mice and moles in the backyard every now and then. And I even saw him catch a bird once.
Wow. And how did you react to that?
I was like, kitty, and I kind of felt bad for the bird. And the one bird he caught a couple of times when he caught mice or moles, I felt bad for them. But, I kind of shooed kitty away and bird I put out of its misery.
My guest is Sean Flynn, is the author of The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. And we'll be back with more of Sean and this amazingly touching story after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening is Sean Flynn, is the author of The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. So, Sean, in the first segment, you told us a little bit about how Kitty came into your life, but Kitty's appearance was more than just a coincidence. In fact, it was synchronistic in many ways. Please share with our listeners why.
Well, I went through a difficult time in my life. And, having Kitty in my life really helped me to get through that. I mean, he provided me with a lot of, love and companionship and loyalty that, unfortunately, not all humans provide us with. So, it was really a good time when I met Kitty because I had been going through some changes in my life and, having him around and taking care of him helped me to, better cope with those difficulties.
Absolutely. Now, without giving away too many details about the book and your story, you say that Kitty saved you and you saved him. How were you able to save one another?
Well, certainly I saved him by rescuing him and getting, feeding him, getting him dewormed, getting him medical care. I was able to take him to the vet, get him his shots. I gave him a home. He moved into my house with me. Um, while while he was, you know, originally, of course, an outdoor cat living in the backyard, and he was during the entire summer after I met him, he ended up that fall moving inside with me. So, you know, I provided him with a home, and, you know, he provided me with, you know, a lot of love and emotional support when I was going through, you know, I was having some difficulties in my life. And, you know, he actually helped to show me how pets, but specifically cats, can really be beneficial and, you know, help us to heal some emotional wounds that we all experience.
What is the nature of the cat that makes them such great healers?
Well, you know, certainly they, their companionship, the fact that they like to be with people, they like to show affection, but there are actually other benefits of being a cat owner as well. I mean, in addition to, like, you know, the emotional support that they provide, cats have also been known to be beneficial and help to heal many physical illnesses. Cats create purr vibrations within the range of 20 to 140 hertz, and these vibrations have been medically therapeutic for many illnesses. They help to lower stress, help to lower blood pressure. They can even help to heal bones and muscles, tendons, and other ligament injuries. And people who own cats are 40% less likely to have a heart attack. And there's an old veterinary adage that says if you put a cat and a bunch of broken bones in the same room, the bones will heal.
That's a beautiful thought. You know, it's funny that you mentioned about that frequency in cats facilitating healing. In my Reiki practice years ago when I had cats in my life, my wife is allergic to cats, so unfortunately we can't have them now. But years ago in my Reiki practice, I had this one cat that I used to refer to as the Reiki cat, because every time I would start giving someone Reiki, the cat would jump up on the table, and of course I would ask the person's permission first. And most of them said, of course. And the cat would actually jump up and just lay next to the person, purring away, and actually imbue energy as I was delivering or channeling the energy for that person's well-being and healing. And so cats are natural. I believe they're natural healers. I think that's one of their purposes here on Earth.
No, absolutely. You know, cats and humans have been connected for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. All you have to do to know that is go to Egypt and see the statues they have in Egypt of cats.
Absolutely. There was an old joke that used to say that the ancient Egyptians worshipped cats as gods, and to this day cats will never let us forget that.
Oh God, isn't that the truth? Yeah, I often refer to myself as my cat's caretaker.
There you go. Yeah, that's absolutely, that's the truth. Now, you know, as is the case with most animal lovers, Kitty was just the first in an extended family of cats that came into your life. Please share a little about the other wonderful cat companions.
Sure. Well, you know, having Kitty in my life really helped me to develop a soft spot in my heart for abandoned cats. And all the cats I have are rescue cats, and, you know, not rescued from, like, the SPCA or a cat shelter, but I actually rescued them because they were living outside. I came across them outside, you know, whether it was how I met Kitty, who was living in the backyard, or, you know, how I met my cat Gypsy, who I had seen him eating out of a dumpster for 3 weeks, and he was clearly abandoned or a stray cat, and I rescued a bunch of other cats after I rescued Kitty. I have to caveat, though, that one of my cats was actually born in my garage when a feral cat went in it and had three kittens. And she's the surviving kitten, and I've known her from when she was a day old. And while I have a great relationship with all my cats, the relationship I have with her is extra special because I'm the only one she's ever known her entire life, and I've been in her life from day one. So we have a very special relationship.
And you gave her a special name. Please share with our listeners that name.
Girlene.
And what is
it? It's spelled G-I-R-L-E-N-E.
And where does that come from?
Well, it's Irish for little girl, although I've also seen it spelled G-I-R-L-E-E-N, but I spell E-N-E. Actually, when she was a little kitten, I used to call her my little girl, and that morphed into girly, and then girly morphed into Girlene. I'm not quite sure how, but it's a cute name, and that's what she knows her name. Or she thinks her name is Girlene. I actually named her Samantha when she was a little tiny girl. And that's what the vet knows her as, Samantha. But I don't call her that because she wouldn't, if I said Samantha, she wouldn't look at me or come.
Absolutely.
But she knows her name as Girlene.
You also had some special names for Kitty.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of special names for him. I used to call him my... you know, kitty boy, kitty lover, my sexy lover boy, lots of different names.
And you used to sing a song for Kitty.
Oh, I sure did. I sang this song to the tune of Little Lover by AC/DC, but I'd sing Kitty Lover. And if you ever heard Little Lover by AC/DC, it goes like, Little Lover, well, I'd sing Kitty Lover, you're my sexy lover boy. And I'd make up a bunch of other verses and stuff, and he always loved when I sang to him.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about the healing capacity of cats and how cats can come into our lives and other four-leggeds and winged ones and all these wonderful, wonderful animal companions. And I can relate to your situation in a slightly different way. After my dad passed away in my early teens, my mother was very distraught. And one day, a small black and white cat followed our neighbor's dog home and was sitting on the doormat outside of our apartment across from her neighbor's. And the neighbor knocked on the door and said, this little cat followed the dog home. You want to take it in? And my mom took it in, and that became the first of a series of wonderful pet companions that she had and really helped her get through the grieving process of having lost my dad. And it's interesting how the cat became, the cat's name, the first cat's name was Pie, taken from Pi Wocket, which was a cat from the movie Bell Book and Candle, starring Kim Novak. And Pi Wocket Pi was the first of a series of wonderful cat companions that my mom had through the years, and really helped her to adjust to the loss of my dad, and gave her a focal point for her love, which, in addition to my brother, sister, and I, which was so important to her. Do you see that also in the work that you do with the Enfield community?
Oh, absolutely. We rescue cats. I mean, right now is considered cat season because all the pregnant, you know, stray and feral cats have their kittens this time of year. So, I mean, you know, the Enfield Community Cat Project is just overwhelmed with kittens in foster care right now. And fortunately, there's a lot of people who, you know, have been willing to adopt these kittens and, you know, it's actually a great time of year to adopt kittens. And I would recommend anyone who's interested in adopting a cat to go ahead and get a rescue cat. Don't go to your local pet store, but get a rescue cat. I mean, those are the ones that really need to be helped by us humans. It's our responsibility to take care of domesticated animals. So I think the things we do at Enfield Community Cat Project are great.
That's wonderful. For our listeners who are in the Connecticut area, please give them the contact information for Enfield.
It's Enfield Community Cat Project. We have a Facebook page. The group was founded and run by Dawn Strzok, and they can reach out to Enfield Community Cat Project on Facebook.
Wonderful. My guest this evening is Sean Flynn. He's the author of The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. Sean, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and about your appearances and learn more about you.
Sure thing, Victor. The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him is available as a paperback for $9.95, and it's also available as a Mobi file for Kindle readers and an EPUB file for Nook and other e-readers. And the electronic versions are available for $6.99. Bookstores and other retailers can get it from Ingram Wholesalers, and it is fully discounted and returnable. And retail channels include all the Amazon sites worldwide, BarnesandNoble.com, and many independent bookstores in the U.S. For your listeners who are librarians and teachers, they can get it at Smashwords. Now, it's also available at Foyles and BookDepository.com in the U.K. It's available at BOL.com in Belgium and the Netherlands, Fairmondo in Germany, and Fish Pond in New Zealand. And upcoming events that I have include R.J. Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut on Thursday, June 15th. I'm at the Enfield Public Library in Enfield, Connecticut on Wednesday, June 28th. And I'm at the Avon Free Public Library's Local Author Festival in Avon, Connecticut on Tuesday, July 25th.
And we'll be back with Sean Flynn and the kitty who rescued me after I rescued him after these words from the Ohm Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
I didn't know it would be so hard. It's easier to heal others than to heal myself.
If you or someone you know has a drug or alcohol problem, you are not alone.
Recovery was the hardest job I ever had, and the most important.
For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend.
Know someone who's being bullied online? Send the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more about the witness emoji at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Sean Flynn. He's the author of The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. Sean, we touched a little bit about this in the second segment, but without going too deeply into your story so that listeners can get the full impact of your experience, what lessons did you learn about relationships, both human-human and human-feline?
Well, I learned a lot about relationships. Kitty actually taught me the value of unconditional love, and he taught me that relationships are more important than just about anything else in this world. I mean, more important than you know, cars and motorcycles and physical possessions, but that, you know, relationships are extremely important, and that, you know, when meeting people, animals, or whoever, you know, that deserve to have those relationships cultivated and nurtured, people who have those relationships with again, people or animals, that they should you know, hold them in high regard and value those relationships.
Absolutely. What was the experience of moving from marketing and market research to becoming an author like?
Well, it was kind of like, I would say that a lot of the same kinds of things that you do in marketing, you have to do when writing a book. I mean, I would say probably 80% of the work is promoting and marketing. I mean, writing it was the easy part. I didn't think that was difficult at all. That was probably 20% of the actual work. But the difficult part is promoting it and marketing it and reaching out to people to book these events that I've been doing at the bookstores here in Connecticut and Western Massachusetts, and the libraries, and I've also been doing festivals. I recently did Earth Day and Spring Fest here in Enfield, and I've done a bunch of other events as well. But I think that's certainly the most difficult part of being an author is to actually promote and market your book. And certainly many of those kinds of qualities that are used in marketing for corporate America can also be applied to marketing your book.
Absolutely. Now, you had mentioned that your inspiration for writing your story about your relationship with Kitty came from finding another author's book at a Petco once. But how did the experience of crafting the book compare to what your expectations were?
Well, Victor, I actually didn't have any expectations at all. I originally wrote my manuscript for myself. I didn't write it with the expectation of trying to get it published. And, I shared my initial story with many of my friends and family, and they were really touched. And, many of them encouraged me to see if I could go out and get it published. And I looked into publishing, self-publishing, and that's the route I ended up going. Now, while it took me about 2 weeks to write my initial manuscript, it took me several months, changing it and getting feedback from people and editing it and, kind of agonizing over it. I mean, it's a great story. You read it. It's a great story, super story, and I stand by the story. And But I really didn't have any expectations initially, so I didn't know what to expect. And I've been learning as I go. This is the first book I've written, so I've been learning as I go. And I actually originally published it late last year in December, and I republished it again this past April because I made some rookie mistakes. I didn't include the title and the author name on the spine. I included a trim size that really isn't used for these types of books, memoirs. And, so that's why I went ahead and republished it again.
Getting back to the concept of actually writing the book, though, how difficult is it to translate your memories, because this is a nonfiction book, it's not a fiction book, how difficult is it to translate your memories and experiences into the written page?
Well, I didn't think it was that difficult at all, because as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I've had this story in my head for years, and I've been taking pictures of my cats, and many, many other people have been a part of this in that, they experienced the same things that I experienced with Kitty and my other cats. So that, I actually didn't think writing it was difficult at all. And, as I mentioned, I wrote my initial manuscript in about 2 weeks.
And had you done any journaling prior to this?
Well, yeah, I kept some notes. I absolutely did. I mean, I actually, well, in addition, another great thing was medical records from my vets. I save all my cats' medical records. So, you know, if while I was writing this, I thought to myself, when was it that I took Kitty to the vet? I can't remember. Or when was it that I took Girlie to the vet? I can go back and look at those medical records to get the date, to get exactly what happened at the vet, what the vet's diagnosis was, you know, things like that.
I know, having co-authored one book and in the process right now of writing my own book, that I will sometimes wake up in the middle of the night with a thought that seems important in terms of the context of what I'm writing, and I'll have a little pad and pencil next to my bed, and I'll jot that down. Do you ever find yourself wanting to do that or doing that at all?
Oh, absolutely. My girlfriend would tell you we have more napkins with stuff on the kitchen table that I've written notes on. I'll be sitting at the kitchen table and a note comes, or a thought comes into my head, and I'll grab a napkin and jot it down on the, jot it down with a pen on the napkin, jot down the thought. So I do that all the time.
I'm laughing because I do the exact same thing. In fact, I've written chapters on toilet paper and just anything you can get your hands on to write at a given time, because you don't want to take the opportunity of losing that trend of thought or that concept that comes to your mind at that time and that point of life. Any other words that you would have or advice for first-time authors?
Well, I would say do your homework. Do your homework about... for first-time authors who plan to self-publish anyway, do your homework in advance, because not all self-publishing options are created equal, and they can certainly affect, you know, how you're able to distribute your book. As I mentioned previously, I originally published my book late last year, and I made some rookie mistakes. One of those mistakes was getting an ISBN number from one of the websites that provide these kinds of things for authors. And I found out after the fact that they owned the printing rights to my book, that I could only get it printed through them. So that limited my distribution options. When I republished The Kitty in April, I bought my own ISBN numbers. Right. So I own them. I own the ISBN numbers, and I own all distribution rights to my book.
You know, the person-pet relationship, as we discussed in the previous segments, is very unique. And your pets have obviously enhanced your life. In what ways did writing this book allow you to pay tribute to them?
Oh, yeah, Victor. I mean, pets love you unconditionally and show you every day. I've always been an animal lover, and I grew up having dogs as part of my family, as I mentioned earlier. But you know, I didn't really have a lot of experience with cats. And I currently have four cats, and as I mentioned earlier, they're all rescues. And, my cats are always happy to see me when I get home. They're very affectionate. They're at times quite amusing, and they brought me a lot of joy over the years. And by, you know, sharing my experiences, some good and some not so good, that's how I pay tribute to them, especially Kitty.
With reference to writing Kitty, it's a wonderful read, but how difficult is it to write a nonfiction book that also embraces your personal feelings and emotions?
Well, as I mentioned, when I first wrote it, I wrote it for myself. So I didn't care what I said. I wanted to, I wanted to be honest. I wanted to document my thoughts and experiences and emotions and how I felt and, you know, how meeting Kitty and having him in my life impacted me. So, I was completely, completely honest and I wanted to, document everything. But, that's what I think touched people, you know, my friends and family, when I shared my initial manuscript with them. That's what touched them, that I was so honest about my feelings and, you know, how he impacted me. So, I guess that's how I'd respond to that.
Would you say that it's good for someone to write the book as if they were writing it for themselves?
Well, I'm not sure. That's a That's difficult to answer. I mean, you know, that's how I did mine. I wrote it for myself. Again, I didn't have any expectations that I would publish it as a book. I just wanted to document my thoughts and feelings. And it kind of ended up becoming a book.
Absolutely. My guest this evening, Sean Flynn, is the author of the very touching and beautiful book, The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. And we'll be back with more of Sean and Kitty's story after these words on the OWN Times Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OWN Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Sean Flynn, the author of the book, The Kitty Who Rescued Me After I Rescued Him. And Sean, I understand that you're going to have some appearances coming up shortly.
Sure do, Victor. Thursday, June 15th, I'll be at RJ Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut at 7 p.m. talking about the kitty. And I also have an event coming up at the Enfield Public Library in Enfield, Connecticut on Wednesday, June 28th, and that's at 7 p.m. as well. And I've also been asked to participate in the Avon Free Public Library's Local Author Festival in Avon, Connecticut on Tuesday evening, July 25th.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing with that. And folks, if you're in that area of the United States, Enfield, Connecticut, in that area, please stop by, introduce yourself to Sean, and learn more about the kitty. Sean, getting back to the crafting of Kitty, some authors embellish details when writing a memoir. To what degree do you embellish details when you're doing your writing?
Well, Victor, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't write it to get it published. I didn't write the book to publish it. I wrote it for myself. I wrote it to document my thoughts and feelings and how Kitty impacted me and, you know, the positive impact he had on me. And I didn't embellish anything at all. I was, you know, completely honest because, again, I was writing it for myself. And I wanted to document my own thoughts and experiences. So I didn't embellish a single thing. I have heard that some authors embellish some things when they're writing nonfiction, but that certainly wasn't the case with me.
Sean, as someone who's been an animal companion, who's had many cats now, what are some of the secrets to good animal care? How do you determine, first of all, what food to feed them?
Well, you know, when I first started feeding Kitty, when I met him, I just bought the stuff in the supermarket off the shelf. Whatever they had, I'd buy Friskies. I bought some generic food in an effort to save a couple of bucks, and he didn't like eating it. In fact, he wouldn't eat it. So I just ended up buying what they had in the supermarket. However, now I've moved on to trying to feed my cats these more, you know, holistic types of cat foods, the grain-free stuff, and it costs a little more, but, you know, from what I understand, you'll save in the long run with vet bills and stuff like that, and, you know, your cat will certainly be healthier over the long term.
I can concur with them. I'm a caretaker for a dog right now, and the dog is named Kismet and had a lot of issues with allergies, with skin allergies. And lo and behold, we find out that moving Kismet to a grain-free diet has virtually eliminated those allergies. So I think it's really important for conscious pet shepherds to take a look and make sure that their animals are being fed grain-free and healthy and natural pet foods.
Yeah, that's certainly a real good thing. I have a cat who has asthma, and I actually stopped feeding him food that has fish in it because I've been told that will help to eliminate some of these asthmatic attacks that he has.
That's wonderful. And what about general care? How often do you take your cats to the vet?
Well, I certainly take them to the vet immediately if they have a medical issue, if I can tell something's wrong with them. But I generally take my cats for their checkup once a year, and I also get them their shots as well. Of course, rabies shots are required in the state of Connecticut, as they are most places. So I always get my cats their shots, and if I can tell that they're having a problem, I take them immediately. I actually have a cat who 2 or 3 months ago was diagnosed with diabetes. And one day I actually noticed he was having some difficulty. Something was wrong with him. He was trying to tell me that something was wrong with him because he was very uneasy, meowing a lot, pacing back and forth, kept walking into his litter box to go to the bathroom. And I could tell something was wrong with him, so I called the vet, took him in, and sure enough, he was diagnosed with diabetes. So now I have to give him insulin shots twice a day.
How common is diabetes among cats?
Yeah, it's actually pretty common. They actually have websites and Facebook pages for felines that have diabetes.
I did not know that. And I assume that a cat with diabetes would also drink a lot more.
Well, not if you have their insulin dosage correct. But yeah, if they're not getting insulin, yeah, they drink a lot more water. I mean, back when I recognized this problem with Gypsy, he was drinking his water bowl would be dry, and he was going to the bathroom constantly. I would clean his litter box in the evening, and he had more urine in his litter box than anything else.
And that's comparable to what would, the reason I question the drinking of water is that's comparable to what a human would experience with diabetes, the constant thirst and also frequent urination.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you, any of the cat lovers and owners out there who have a cat who may be displaying that, please take your cat to the vet immediately and make sure that they're okay and that they don't have diabetes. What's it like having to administer insulin? That must be a chore.
Well, you know, Victor, I knew at a very young age that I was not going to work in the medical profession. it was actually kind of emotional having to, initially having to give Gypsy his insulin shot because, you know, if you mess up the dosage, you can kill the cat. And, you know, I mean, Gypsy's life was in my hands, so it was kind of, you know, emotional. I got emotional the first few times I did it, but now it's a, I have a down pat. I'm a seasoned pro. I have to give him a shot every 12 hours, and unfortunately, I have to, my life revolves around taking care of my cats. I have to make sure I'm home at a certain time to give him his insulin shot. You know, if it's a weekend and I feel like sleeping in on a Saturday or Sunday morning, I can't. I have to get up so I can give Gypsy his insulin shot.
Absolutely. Now, your cats, the majority of your cats have been personally rescued. What's different about a rescue cat that you find yourself in terms of their initial intake and care than a cat that you would adopt from a shelter, per se?
Well, I think a cat that you rescue from outside, I mean, you obviously don't know their history. You don't know when the last time was they were at a vet. You don't know if they have any diseases. If they have things like feline leukemia, you don't know when the last time was they got a rabies shot. So you certainly, I mean, and often they have fleas or ticks. And if you have other cats, you don't want to bring the cat home and have them transfer fleas and ticks to your other cats, or, you know, God forbid, some disease or some other issue. So, you know, it's important to, you know, take them to the vet, make sure they get their shots. You know, have a stool sample so that you can check to make sure it doesn't have any parasites in its stool. You have to get a feline leukemia test, things like that. But once the cat has a clean bill of health, then you can just let it in the house with the rest of your animals.
Absolutely. Now, please tell us about the work you do with the Enfield Community Cat Project.
Sure. Well, I've actually been putting together, kind of like informally, I've been putting together, you know, a lot of marketing material for them, helped them write a press release a few months back for a fundraiser, and it was real successful. The one of the local newspapers picked up the story, and they posted it in the newspaper 2 or 3 days before the event. And we held the event on a Saturday. It was a 5-hour event, and we raised over $1,700 and carloads of cat food for the fundraiser, which, you know, is a huge amount of money. I mean, sometimes we have fundraisers and, you know, don't even raise $100. So that was real favorable. But I put together some other materials for them, thank you letters. I recently put together a Cat 101 type brochure for new cat owners, when they adopt out cats. We also wanted to provide the cat owner with, you know, basic instructions on what they need to do to help care for the cat. And at one of the recent meetings, they nominated me to be their marketing representative, and so it's official. But I've been doing a lot of great things with the group. I'm real pleased to be associated with them. And I've actually also teamed up with several other local cat rescue groups as well for fundraisers, including Cattails Nonprofit Rescue from Middletown, Connecticut, Feline Friends Cat Sanctuary from Feeding Hills, Massachusetts, and Halfway Home Cat Rescue from Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Wonderful. What's next for Sean P. Flynn, author?
Well, for the moment, you know, I'm certainly promoting this book and, hoping that, people like the book as much as you, Victor. I think it's a great story. I've gotten real good feedback about it. And I hope to continue to write books about my cats. I have a ton of great stories. As I mentioned, I currently have 4 cats. And, I've really enjoyed volunteering with the Enfield Community Cat Project. And I'm hoping that I can continue to doing this. I hope to continue doing this at least for the short term. I plan on doing it at least for the short term. I hope to plan on doing it for the long term as well.
What message would you like readers to take away from the kitty who rescued me after I rescued him?
Well, I would like them to know that this is a great story about love and loyalty and how having a rescue pet come into your life can be very rewarding.
And I think on that note, we're going to say thank you to Sean Flynn, author of The Kitty Who Rescued Me, after I rescued him. Sean, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get this amazing book.
Sure. Bookstores and other retailers can get it from Ingram Wholesalers, and it's fully discounted and returnable. Retail channels include all the Amazon sites worldwide, BarnesandNoble.com, and many independent bookstores in the U.S. And for librarians and teachers, they can get it from Smashwords. It's also available from Foyles and BookDepository.com in the U.K., BOL.com in Belgium and the Netherlands. It's available from Fairmondo in Germany and Fishpond in New Zealand. And, you know, I love hearing from people who read The Kitty. And if they'd like to reach out to me and let me know their thoughts, they can do so at SeanPFlynn@yahoo.com. Or they can reach out via Facebook at SeanFlynn.author. I would love to hear what people think of The Kitty.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing this heart-touching story with us and your experience with Kitty and all the wonderful cats who have touched your life. And hopefully you'll come back again when you had your next book ready.
Thanks, Victor. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I'd love to come back.
And thank you all for joining us this evening on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Speak with you next week.